Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the truth is, God, somebody's going through right now. Somebody's hurt. Somebody's burdened. Somebody's broken. Somebody, Lord, is troubled. And the truth is, God, we need you. Yes. When we're weak, you're strong. We need you. When we can't see our way, you can. We need you. We need you, Lord, to get us through the tight spots, the rough roads, tough hills. And God, we need you to give us hope when it seems like all hope is lost. So God, even now, hide me behind the cross. Somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to be strengthened by you. Somebody needs to be lifted by you. So bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's sake I do pray. Amen. Amen. Certainly giving honor to God for his presence in this place, for the spirit of worship, for these my cleric colleagues who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the officers, members, visitors, and friends, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly want to take this opportunity to thank Brother Hudson for that wonderful speech. He's a natural. But now, if he's going to preach, he got to be called. Amen. We'll talk about that in the future. Don't let nobody call you. Amen. Because the Lord might want him to be a politician or a lawyer because he can talk good. The Lord do use politicians. He's using one now in Washington. Oh, y'all quiet. Y'all ain't going to say anything. Praise the Lord. But you got to know he's calling. You got to hear his voice. It's got to be audible. When the Lord called me, I looked around and said, what did you say, Sergeant? He said, I didn't say nothing. Amen. So I'm going to ask his family to stand. Good to see you. Amen. Ask that you certainly come out and support him on Saturday here at our church. Saturday morning. I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to call your attention to a passage of scripture from the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. The first three verses were read, but I want to read verses 19 through 24. According to the New King James rendering, you'll find these words. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord had did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The word of God for the people of God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, leave something behind. Leave something behind. Get ready to cross the Jordan was the first order God gave Joshua. And he promised that as he was with Moses, he would also be with him. On this mission, as with any mission from or for the Lord, he would need some courage. So God tells him three times to be courageous. Sisters and brothers, if you are doing the work or are going to do the work of the Lord, you will need some courage. Because the truth is, on this journey, traveling this road, we will face the enemy. Doing the work of the Lord, we will encounter the adversary. When walking in the light, we will run into dark opposition. And when promoting the kingdom of God, we will have a few haters. So courage is necessary. Dr. Maya Angelou says about courage, courage is the most important of all the virtues. Because without it, you cannot practice any of the other virtues consistently. Sisters and brothers, ancient Greek philosophers listed four cardinal virtues: wisdom, justice, moderation, and courage. Christian philosophers later added three more virtues to the list: faith, hope, and love. Y'all praying with me? Going on to a battlefield takes courage. Walking in the light takes courage. Leading God's people takes courage. Living the truth takes courage. Telling the truth takes courage. And standing up for the truth takes courage. Brothers and sisters, perhaps Joshua remembered the outcome of his predecessor Moses in sending 12 spies. You do know the story, don't you? 10 did not believe they were able to enter the land, while 2 did. 2 saw the possibilities, while 10 saw the impossibilities. 10 saw themselves as grasshoppers, while 2 saw themselves as lions. 2 were ready to claim what God had promised, while 10 sang a new song, "Ain't No Way and Ain't No How." 10 talked about the cons, while 2 talked about the pros. And you know what happened, don't you? This must have been a Baptist crowd, because they believed the report of the 10. Maybe that is why Joshua only sent 2 spies to check out the land. I believe the elders understood this valuable lesson, and that's why you would often hear them saying, "Too many cooks in the kitchen spoil the soup." That's something left behind. Am I right about it? Sisters and brothers, when God is working for you, working with you, and working on your behalf, people know it. And the enemy, sure enough, knows it. Am I right about it? The spies ended up staying in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Now, that's a whole long story, and I'll talk about that in another sermon. And she not only gives them shelter, but she also hides them from the king of Jericho. Sisters and brothers, good news travels fast, but bad news seems to travel faster. Rahab and the others in her town had already heard about what God had done in delivering Israel's children out of Egypt, bringing them across the Red Sea and helping them to defeat the Ammonites. This news had hit town that they were on their way. This woman of the night, Rahab, who would end up being an ancestor of the light, Jesus, makes a powerful statement to the two spies. And she said, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and God on earth below." You see, sisters and brothers, some ancient religions had gods that only worked in certain places. But Israel's God worked everywhere. They had gods that only functioned certain times of the year. But Israel's God was on duty 24/7, 365 days a year, and 366 days in leap year. They had a God that only worked on certain things, but Israel's God worked on everything. Perhaps you're wondering, well, how, preacher, do you know this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I know this because I heard David saying, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. For the mountains before they were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." I know because I heard David saying, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." I know because I heard David saying, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." I know because I heard David saying, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend in heaven, he there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me." And finally, I know because I heard Moses saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And I heard John say amen in the New Testament with these words, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made." Y'all not praying with me. Sisters and brothers, that's good news. Because no matter where we are, what we may be facing, or when we may be facing it, God is right there. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask the thing. Isn't he able? Sisters and brothers, Ahab was right. He's a God of heaven above and a God of earth below. When storm clouds rise, he's God. When strong winds blow, he's God. When we're on the mountaintop, he's God. When we're way down in the valley, he's God. When we got money in the bank, he's God. When we don't have one thing down, he's God. When we're the picture of help, he's God. And when we're lying on our deathbed, he's still God. Rahab heard about their God, so she made them swear to spare her family when they returned. When the two spies arrived back at the camp, they reported to Joshua what God was already doing. What was God doing. I'm glad you asked. God was striking fear in the heart of their enemies. What was God doing? Opening doors that had been closed for 40 years. What was God doing? Making a way out of no way. What was God doing? Preparing a table before them in the presence of their enemies. What was God doing? Leading them to a place that their fathers and mothers talked about. What was God doing? Giving them a testimony that they could share with their children's children. That's what God was doing, giving them a story to tell. Hey, y'all were shouting earlier, but I feel like shouting right now. If you don't get happy over the word, I'll get happy all by myself. Hey! Captains of the people then gave them orders to follow the promise or the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark contained the law or the word of God for that time. They were to follow the priests who carried the word. Because where they were going, they had never been before. Sisters and brothers, I believe there's a word for us today. If we find ourselves in uncharted waters, follow the word. If we end up in unfamiliar territory, follow the word. If we ever have to chart new paths, follow the word. If you ever have to fight in enemy territory, follow the word. If you've never seen what you're seeing right now, or experiencing what you never experienced before, follow the word. And if you ever have to face the unknown, just follow the word. Tell your neighbor, follow the word. Because if the word can't get you there, you don't need to go. In chapter 3, Israel experienced God's power as they crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land by getting ready to move with God, see God, and experience God. Joshua and the children of Israel witness God fulfill his promise to bring them into the land. But before they finished crossing, God made an important point. He instructs them to leave something behind. When you get to your camp, leave something behind. When you make it over, leave something behind. When you make it your way, leave something behind. And when I bring you out of the wilderness into the promised land, leave something behind. Sisters and brothers, how important it is to leave something behind us. Something that speaks to the faithfulness and the power of God. Something that speaks of the faith in believing in God. Something that speaks about facing our obstacles and still trusting in God. Something that tells succeeding generations what the Lord has done for us. And something that lets our children know that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we don't know where. Hey, what purpose does leaving something behind serve us? Well, as we journey with God and he proves himself in and through us, we will emerge more convinced and more confident that if he brought us out once, he can do it again. If he made a way once, he can do it again. If he picked us up once, He can do it again. And if he delivered us once, he can do it again. Am I right about it? But what impact will it have on others? Especially if we don't leave something behind. Like a testimony. Like a story. Or a witness about what the Lord has done. In crossing the Jordan River, God instructs Joshua to have the children of Israel leave something behind. A memorial. A monument. That is what Gilgal means. A monument of stones that could speak to the generations to follow. It would be noticeable and noticeable reminder of what God did for Israel when they entered the promised land. It doesn't need to be fancy. In this case, it was just a pile of rocks, but it represented the rock of ages. It was enough to be something that could speak. That is why it is important to share our testimonies. Thank you, Mother Hughes. Thank you, Mother Beal. Thank you, Mother Alston. Thank you, Deacon McMillan. Thank you, Deacon Caldwell. Thank you, Mother Lyons. Thank you, Mother Smith. Thank you, Mother Scales. Thank you, Brother Benson. Thank you, Trustee Johnson. Thank you, Brother Wilson. And thank many others for sharing your testimony. That's how I know I can make it. Because the Lord helped you make it. Through World War II. Veterans of the Vietnam War. Veterans of the Korean War, survivors of the 1929 stock market crash, sharecroppers, one step down or one step up from slavery. You know about the back of the bus, or you know about walking when other kids got the ride. But God helped you make it, and I know I can make it too. Ain't the Lord all right? What we leave behind can speak for us. It can speak to those who will follow us and give testimony of what was at work in us as a people, as families, as a ministry, and as a church, as the Lord brought us out. In verse 2, Joshua instructs the people to take yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe. Command them, saying, take one stone from where the priest stood in the Jordan. You shall carry them over and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. This memorial of 12 stones spoke not only of God's power to divide the river so Israel could pass, but also it spoke of their faith and what they did. Do I have a witness here? What did the children of Israel do? They crossed the river. The entire nation with all of their belongings. They entered the promised land and embraced what God had for them. All of this was true, but it's not all that they did. Oh no, they also believed their God. Following the death of their leader Moses, God picked up where he left off 40 years earlier. He had refused to cancel his promise that he had made to Abraham. And even though it took a mighty long time, God still met them at the Jordan. What else did they do? They disbelieved the facts. The Jordan River was swollen with the runoff of seasonal rains. And what would have been challenging to cross at any other time of the year was now impossible for a million plus people to cross. However, this is where God had brought them, and the promise lay just on the other side. Even though the fact said it could not be done, Joshua and the children of Israel did not focus on the facts. They focused on their God. They didn't just look at the bottom line. They looked to their God. They did not worry about the water, because their God had a record of parting waters. And because they did, they walked over on dry ground. Isn't he able? Isn't it just like our God? He'll bring you to a place where you can't see your way. Then he'll make a way out of no way and give you a testimony. Isn't it just like our God? You get sick and the doctors say you're not going to get well. Then he'll heal your body and give you a story to tell. Isn't that just like our God? Bring you out, bring you over, and bring you through. And then he'll give you a story. He'll give you something to shout about. Maybe that's why every now and then you could hear the elder singing, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Ain't it all right? Sisters and brothers, we've got to go through some things to watch God work in your life. You've got to go through some stuff. You got to be in some tight spots where nobody but God can help. Is there anybody here who's been there? You've been in a situation that if the Lord didn't come through, you were through. If the Lord didn't rescue you, if the Lord didn't hear your cry, if the Lord didn't hear your prayer, if the Lord didn't come to your aid, it would have been all over. Do I have a witness here? If you trust and never doubt, he will. He will bring you out. Won't he bring you out? Won't he bring you over? Won't he make a way? When God makes a way, delivers us from danger seen and unseen, opens doors that have been closed in our face, we've got to leave something behind that tells our story. The elders knew something about this, and that's why you could hear them singing every now and again. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You can't tell it, let me tell it. What the Lord has done for me. The elders knew something about this. That's why every now and then you would hear them singing, look where he brought me from. Look where he brought me from. He brought me out of darkness. I'm walking in the light. Look where. Two months before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached a sermon entitled Drum Major Instinct. And in it he said, and I quote, if any of you are around when I meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I tried to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I tried in my life to clothe the naked. I want you to say on that day that I tried in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have fine, luxurious things in life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want you to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with word or song, if I can show somebody that traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Unquote. Brothers and sisters, we can leave things behind us that speak for us in the years ahead, that speak of our faith, how we believed God when the days were dark and the nights were long, how we held on to our desire to have fulfill and complete God's perfect will for our lives and our ministries. We can leave something behind that speaks of how we obediently and confidently followed God, obeyed His word, supported His work, prayed for each other, and trusted in the Lord. And we can leave something behind that speaks of our God who accomplished and accomplishes great things for us. Sisters and brothers, what are you leaving behind? As I close, history was made in the baseball world in 1947. In that year, Jackie Robinson became the first black player in major leagues. The Brooklyn Dodgers owner, Branch Rickey, told Robinson, "It'll be tough on you. You're going to have to take a lot of abuse, be ridiculed, and receive verbal punishment, more than you ever thought possible." Rickey continued, "But I'm willing to back you all the way if you have the determination to make it work." In short order, Robinson experienced the gloomiest predictions. He was abused verbally and physically as players intentionally ran over him and ran him down. The crowd was vicious with racial slurs and demeaning comments. Opponents as well as his own teammates ridiculed Robinson. Around mid-season, Robinson was having a particularly bad day. He had fumbled several grounders, overthrown first base, and then batted poorly. The crowd that day was especially nasty, and Robinson was being unmercifully taunted. Then something miraculous happened. In front of this critical crowd, Harold Pee Wee Reese, the team captain, who was a white man, walked over from his shortstop position and simply put his arms around Robinson's shoulders. Years later, Robinson reflected that simple gesture saved my career, because Pee-wee made me feel as if I belong. That's what I want to leave you with. Sisters and brothers, somebody is hurting and they need to know they belong. Leave something behind. Some young boy and some young girl has been told they're going to be nothing. Leave something behind so they can feel good about themselves. Somebody feels like they're at the end of their road. Leave something behind so they can run on a little while longer. Somebody feel like throwing up their hands. Leave something behind so they can hold on to see what the end will be. Sisters and brothers, my mother left something behind. And because she left something behind, I respect my elders because of what my mother left behind. I never look down on anyone because of what my mother left behind. I have the faith that I have because I can remember her always saying, "Son, where there's a will, there is a way." When I can't see my way, I believe. When the report looks bad, I believe. When I face overwhelming odds, I believe, because of what my mother left behind. But Jesus, he also left something behind. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who leaves something behind, because I heard him say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm so glad we serve a God who leaves something behind, because I heard him say, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." I'm so glad we serve a God who leaves something behind, because I heard him say, "I will not leave you comfortless, but the comforter, it will come." I'm so glad I heard him say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going away to prepare a place. And if I go, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also." Because of what Jesus left behind, I can say like the songwriter, "I'm saved by his power divine. I'm saved by his life sublime. Right now I'm free. I've got the victory. I'm saved. Because of what Jesus left behind, I've got a home in heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout. Won't be nobody there to put me out. Because of what Jesus left behind, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Ain't he all right? Because of what Jesus left behind, joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come.
abide with us forever makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows cease to roll. Ain't he all right? Because what he left behind, trouble in my way, I've gotta cry sometime. I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because Jesus won't he fix it after a while.
Say yeah, because of Jesus left behind, we've got something to tell. He died on Calvary one Friday. They stretched him wide and hung him high, and he died till the sun refused to shine. He died till the veil in the temple was rent. He died when the rocks began to roll. He died until the dead walked up out of the grave. He died until a Roman soldier said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." They placed him in Joseph Barra's tomb. He was there Friday evening. He was there Sunday morning. He was there Saturday afternoon. He was there Saturday night. But Friday, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And because of what he left behind, I can say, blessed assurance, Jesus in mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This in my story, this in my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he plant your feet on solid ground? Won't he make a way? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And after he makes a way for us, we got to leave something behind. There's a poem that I want to share with you as I close. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you, but be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. The doors of the church are open.